Welcome to the Shir in Kli Acher, Parshas Vayetzchanan. Wanted to see two pieces tonight in the Kli Acher, both of which are very clever in terms of their use of gematrias and other such remazim in the psukim. And I think we'll see beyond the gematrias, you know, which of course are always clever and enjoyable, there are some, you know, deeper ideas which the Kli Acher is sharing. So, in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Teh, Pasuk says, Raki shomer lecho ushmor nashucho meod pen tishkach es advarim asher ro einecho. Be very, very careful lest you forget the things that your eyes saw. And in context, the Chumash is speaking about the necessity to remember Maimed Har Sinai. In other words, those events which we all saw, whether directly or somewhat vicariously, you know, everybody was present at Har Sinai, even those of us who don't remember consciously being present at Har Sinai, but we were all there. So the Torah says, be very, very careful not to forget that which you saw at Maimed Har Sinai, let that be an indelible impression upon you forever and ever. So comments the Kli Acher on this, Razal lomdu mikan, shashokheach dover echon mimishnoso mischayiv benafsho. Famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, we say it many times this time of year. Chazal learned out from this passage that not only is one obligated to remember the events of Maimon Har Sinai, but a person is obligated to remember the Torah that he learns. And in fact, say Chazal, if a person consciously causes himself to forget, or even forgets, anything that he's learned, Harezim is Chayiv Benasho, he's guilty of a mortal sin. And they quote this passage, Pen Tishkach Et Advarim Asher Ro Einecho. Not only are you obligated to remember Maimed Har Sinai, but all of the information that you received at Maimed Har Sinai, you're not allowed to forget either. Why? Kigarem la'atmo shigam Hashem yishkicho. Why is it mischayiv benafsho? Well, that's a very, very strong terminology. You forget something you learn, so you become mortally culpable. Very, very strong lashon. So explains the Kli Acher, because when a person forgets God's Torah, kivyachol, so to speak, he causes Hashem to forget him. Kimoshe kasuv, vatishkach Torah telotecho, eshkach bonecho gam oni. Pasuk Hosea says, if you forget the Torah of God, so I will forget my children as well. I will forget your children as well, says the apostle. Right? Okay, so what does this mean? I mean, again, almost anyone, you know, doesn't remember all the Torah that they learned. So the simple explanation would seem to be something that's really, really important to you. You remember, right? I mean, hopefully you remember your kids' names. Hopefully you remember your wife's name. Hopefully you remember once in a while their birthdays, right? You remember where you're supposed to go to work in the morning, right? You remember things that are very, very important to you. So if you forget aspects of Torah, it means on some level it wasn't important enough. Right. So what the Kli Acher is saying is mischayiv benafsho is not necessarily a punishment as much as it is a consequence, meaning, which doesn't make it any better necessarily, but not that, oh, you forgot a piece of Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu's gonna, you know, zap you with a lightning bolt, but a person who doesn't have that connection to Torah, you know, meaning that on some level it's not important enough to him, Hashem says, okay, it's not important enough for you to connect to me, it's not important enough for me to connect to you. So the bond between Hashem and the Jewish people, or that person, is a little bit severed, a little bit frayed, and even with the Moshe Rabbeinu, on some level that bond is frayed somewhat, and that's the positive quote from Moshe, if you forget the Torah of God, Hashem's going to forget you as well, right? It's not important to you, it's not important to me, right? You come home, you forget your wife's birthday, Harezim is chayiv benafsho, right? In other words, that frays the bond a little bit, because it shows her that, you know, something which is important to me is not so important to you, right? So on some level, that's how we can understand the idea that forgetting Torah is, you know, of such profound importance. Oh, the darshu razal min apostluk, the shavtem reitzem ben sadik le rasha. Bein ove elokim la'asher lo avodo. She'eino dom eshona pirko mea pa'amim. L'shona pirko mea pa'amim ve'echod. The famous Maimer Chazal. Yeah, this is the Kliyokar on Perek Dalet post test. Famous Maimer Chazal from the Gemara Chagiga that says the key to remembering is reviewing. Right? In many ways, for many people, this is one of the hardest parts of learning. It's always enjoyable to learn something new. Then to have to go over it again is not always so enjoyable. But if you really want to learn something properly, you have to review it. How many times do you have to review it? So says the Gemara Chagiga, you can't compare reviewing something 100 times to 101 times. In other words, somehow reviewing your learning 101 times puts you in a wholly different place qualitatively. If you go over something 101 times, it makes it, you know, it makes it yours to a much greater extent. So says the Kliyaka, you know, Mishramati Ramas Ladova, where did you get this idea that 101 is this magic number? If I go over 101 times, that's going to make it stick with me. If I go over something nearly 100 times, it's not going to stick with me to the same extent. So says the Kliyokar, I heard a remez as follows. The Pasuk says that the Chazal relate this idea to a Pasuk in Malachi. V'shavtem uri'item ben tzadik la'rasha. You should go and look at the difference between a tzadik and a rasha. Bein oveid elokim la'asher lo avodo. You should look at the difference between someone who worships God versus someone who doesn't worship God. What's that? What? Right, so in other words, what the Chazal darshan from that pasuk is as follows. A guy who chazers his learning 100 times is a person who doesn't worship God properly. A guy who chazers his learning 101 times, that is someone who does worship God properly. And you can tell the difference between the guy who learns it 100 times versus the guy who learns it 101 times. It's a little bit startling to describe the person, and a guy comes and sits and he chazers this mesechta that he learned 100 times up to Gemara. That's asher lo avodo. That's the person who doesn't serve Hashem properly. He has to go through 101 times to be considered a proper Eved Hashem, a proper servant of God. A little bit shocking, but lemaisa, that's what the Gemara says. I'm sorry? Right, so the Gemara seems to be saying that there's something qualitatively different about the 101st time. Right, we have to figure out what that is, right? But in other words, again, the Gemara isn't saying once you hit 101, might as well forget about it, right? 102 is great, 103 is great, but 102, 103 is just a difference in kind, in degree. The difference between 100 and 101 is the difference in kind, apparently. In other words, there's a qualitative difference between those two, you know, between that those two acts of chazor. Watch the rim as Lazarus, he says as follows. Lo avodo. The pasuk speaks of the one who doesn't serve God. Lo avodo, the Rashi Tevos, are Lamed Ayin. Lamed Ayin, the Gematria, is 100. Lamed is 30, Ayin is 70. So lo avodo is the person who hazards 100 times. And if you look earlier in the pasuk, v'shavtem u'ra'isem, bein oved elokim la'asher lo avodo. The words oved elokim la'asher is the Rashi Tevos thereof, ayin aleph lamed, is the gematria 101. So v'shavtem u'ra'isem, bein oved elokim la'asher. Look at the difference between 101 lo avodo versus 100. If you look at the Rashi Tevos spell out the gematrias that are relevant over here, right? Rashi Tevos olamer ba'achas ki ashon apir komer ba'achas ba'am nikra obed elokim. Right, the gematria in the pasuk itself speaks that the very pasuk that the Gemara quotes as being the source of the difference between 100 and 101 brings in this idea in the Rashi Tevos of the gematria of the pasuk itself. Okay, so that's a very beautiful remez. He's going to give you more in just a minute. It still avoids the basic question. All right, so why is 100 different than 101? Right? I think the simplest explanation is as follows. 100 is a nice round number. I mean, you talk about, you know, it's a number of completion. Right? So when a person has done something 100 times, certainly, you know, the person's inclination is to pat himself on the back. You did a very good job, right? If you get 100 on a test, it means that you aced the test. You did as well as you possibly could have done. So the person who learns something 100 times, you know, is tempted to tell himself, look, I did a very good job, and now we're done. What's the significance of the 101st time? It means that the person says, I'm never done. Right? That's why 101, 102, 103, in a certain sense, it's all the same. Because once you get past 100, a person's inclination would be to say, 100, I learned it 100 times, what do you want from me? Right? I learned it 100 times and I'm still chattering it over? It means that I'm committed to constantly going over this because I recognize that only through constant review will I ever be able to master something properly. Right? So that, I think just on a simple level, that's the difference between 100 and 101. And again, says the Kli Yachar, that difference, the gematria, is already rooted in the pasuk. But there's more. V'zemi shali, la'atos remes yachar, mizevehu. What I just quoted, says the Kli Yachar, is something that I've heard from others. You know, this gematria in the pasuk, Oved Elokim la'asher lo avoto. That's a gematria I've heard from others. Let me add my own. Kishetitzakeo b'milat zochar u'v'milat shochach timso misfar meyo va'achas b'neya. Says the Kli Yachar, what's the word for he forgot in Hebrew? Shochach. What's the word for he remembered in Hebrew? Zochar. Right? What's the difference in gematria between zochar and shochach? So let's work it out for a moment, right? Shochach, right? You have a shin, you have a chav, you have a ches, is 328. Zochar is 227. So in other words, the numerical value, the gematria difference between zochar and shochach is 101. Varotzu levatel hashichicha. If you want to get rid of shochach, you want to turn shochach into zochar, yachzor alimudo meo ve'achas pe'amim. Let it make up the difference between zochar and shochach by learning 101 times, and that will bring the gematria of shochach down such that it will reduce the gematria of shochach such that it becomes zochar. Yeah. That's what he's explaining, right? No, there's anal dama, mishashon pirko, mea v'chad pe'amim, right? So why mea v'chad? Because that's the difference between shochach and zochar. Uvohem yivchos min mispar shochach, mispar mea v'achas, v'yishor mishochach, mila zochar. Alkei me'od yi adover komos et slos lo zikoro, lo yishochach ho. Okay, so that's the nice gematria. But then he adds the following. The karov l'shmoa, and maybe we could explain the following as well. Shehamaloch hamemuna al azikaron zochar shemo. There's a maloch who's in charge of memory. The memory maloch. And what's the memory maloch's name? Zochar? Why is the memory maloch's name Zochar? So you say, okay, well, because he remembers. More than that. Yesh lo resh chof zayin kochos. The number of powers, if you will, that this maloch possesses is equivalent to the gematria of Zochar. So in other words, the maloch who's in charge of remembering has 227 points, if you will, at his disposal. The maloch in charge of forgetfulness is called shochach, and he has at his disposal 328 power points that he can utilize to get people to forget things. So it turns out, and our experience, at least up to a point, confirms this, that the maloch who's in charge of forgetfulness has 101 extra power points than the maloch who's in charge of memory. right? I mean, I don't know that we can relate to the 101 extra power points, but I think we all know intuitively that the power of forgetfulness seems to be much stronger than the power of memory. Right. So one way to explain angels, I'm not going to pretend to that I fully understand the concept of malachim, but the Rabbi Mimar Nevuchim writes the following, and I think it's probably easiest for us to understand what the concept of malachim is all about. In modern science, they talk about forces. Right? There's the force of gravity, right? Other forces that exist in the world. So let's not call those things forces. Let's call those things malachim, right? In other words, we understand, we're comfortable in the modern era saying that although God created the world and runs the world, He created a world in which there are various different forces which are the immediate cause for certain things to happen in the world. I mean, we understand gravity only works because God made gravity, right? We don't think that gravity is somehow this independent agent who's working, you know, outside of God, you know? So, just take out the idea of physical forces. So, malachim. Malachim means God creates the world in which, you know, stuff is delegated. You know, there are different forces that are engaged in running the world. So call them malachim. If you call them malachim instead of forces, you know, all of a sudden the concept, which seems very strange to many modern people, doesn't seem so strange anymore. You know, God created a world in which different things are delegated to different powers, forces, you know, whatever it happens to be. So, Al Kein Hashichah Goveres Al Ha'adam. It's no surprise, therefore, that it's much easier to forget stuff than to remember stuff. Because the truth is, the malach, the force, in charge of forgetfulness, is a much more powerful force than the force in charge of memory. He has 101 extra power points over the malach who's in charge of memory. That's where the number 101 comes from. 101 narrows the gap between the force of memory and the force of forgetfulness. Every time you review what you learned, you take away one power point that the malach of forgetfulness has over the malach of memory. When you review something 101 times, you even the playing field between the malach of zikara and the malach of shichacha, and now you're not going to forget things. Remez ladova, right? So, what's another remez for this idea? Again, he's very into gematrias tonight. So look at our pasuk. Hishomer lecha, our pasuk says, Hishomer lecha ushmar nafshecha me'od. If you take out the word lecha and you just take the four words, Hishomer ushmar nafshecha me'od. So it's hey, it's Rosh Tevos, hey vav nun mem, right? Hey is 5, vav is 6, so that's 11. Nun is 50, so 50 and 11 is 61. Mem is 40, comes out to be 101, our magic number once again. Rosh Tevos, min arba tevos elu olu mispar me'ava achas. Right? So it comes out to be 101. Ah, so you'll tell me, yeah, but that's not fair. You skipped the word of the pasuk. Hishomer lecha ushmar nafshecha me'ot. So says the Kli Yakar. I was just getting started. Rosh Tevos shel tevas lecha. Right? In other words, if you take the Rosh Tevos of the word lecha, hainu lamed, right? It's lamed. Ki ul amar lemo taras chamer v'achas ba'amim v'tishkach es hadvarim. What's lamed? Lamed, we know, is related to the word lemod, learn, right? The very letter lamed means learn. So, you know, the Rosh Tevos of Yishomer Lecho, Yishomer Nafshecha Me'od come out lemod me'a v'achas, right? Learn 101 times. If you learn 101 times, that's going to counteract Shechacha. So in other words, in this pasuk as well, right? We find a remez to the idea, says the Kli Yakar, that the antidote to forgetting is to try to learn something 101 times. What's that?
Instead of saying
lamed, right,
is learning.
Yeah.
Because
the
word lacha means then it's going to be yours.
Oh, okay. You can say like that also. Okay, no, lacha makes it yours. Right. You know, so if you do 101 times, so lacha you acquire the Torah. Okay, very good. You know, same basic idea. But he says this is Remez Yakar, right? The Kli Yakar, you know, is very very taken with these remazim. Again, beyond the remazim, which are cute and which are clever, you know, basically the idea which is brought out over here is that if you want to know something, you have to go over it, right? Again, for many of us, that's a difficult lesson to absorb. Again, I'm speaking personally over here, and if it's helpful to anyone, so be it. It's very exciting to learn something for the first time. It's always less exciting to learn something for the second time. Right? Now, the truth is, in reality, when you learn something multiple times, really, every time you go through it, you derive something new from it. You know, you look at it in a different fashion. You take something new out of it. But again, but it's a little bit more sophisticated. It's like a fine wine, you know? In other words, it's something that, you know, when you go through it the third time, the fourth time, the tenth time, the 20th time, on the surface, it's not always quite as exciting the way it was the first time around, right? You ever tell, I certainly had this experience in yeshiva. They tell you in yeshiva we're going to be learning Masechta Bava Basra. Oh, last year I was in a different yeshiva, and we also learned Bava Basra. You mean we're going to learn the whole Masechta over again? Ah! Well, the best thing I have, you know, in YU with students, you know, we're going to learn such and such a Masechta. Oh, Rebbe, we learned that in 7th grade. All right, now it is possible that the way you learned it in 7th grade and the way you learn it when you're 19, 20 might be somewhat different, right? I mean, I would hope that the shiur is a little bit different now than the way you learned it when you were in 7th grade. But there is a certain human impulse like that. Rebbe, I learned that already. Why do I need to learn that again? And the Kli Yakar, again, is not saying anything new in that regard over here. The Kli Yakar is just underscoring what Chazal tell us in many, many places. If you want to know something, not just to be acquainted with something, but if you want to know something, you have to review it. And you have to review it a lot. 101 times. Right? You can't just go over it one or two times or three times or four times. 101 times. You have to be committed to learning things and relearning things a lot in order to truly make them yours. Right? And that's, you know, beyond all of the Muslim and the Gematrios, that's essentially the lesson which is coming out from all of these thoughts that the Kli Yakar has. Again, it's good muster to us. You know, if you're going to really know something, you have to make sure to review it and go through it and review it and review it and review it. In many ways, you know, reviewing may be even more essential than the original learning itself. The Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, the Baal HaTanya, has extensive Hilchos Talmud Torah in his Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and there he puts forward a very, very unique opinion, which I don't think we follow, because it would be hard to really do this practically for most people. But the Baal HaTanya says you can never move on to learn something new until you've gone over what you've learned so many times that you've absolutely mastered it and memorized it and made it a part of you. Right? You can never go on to the next sugya until you've made a total acquisition 101 times on the sugya which you just learned. Yeah, I mean, you know, the yeshivas would learn about half a blot every year, maybe, if that was the approach, you know, that we took. I mean, it's very hard to carry that out practically. But the idea behind the Baal HaTanya is essentially this idea, you know, you don't, you know, it's not about all the new stuff you're learning. It's about how well you internalize the stuff that you've learned already. And how many times, and that means reviewing it and going over it and making sure that it's not just stuff that you saw, but stuff that you've internalized in some way or another. That's really the idea that the Kli Yakar is bringing out over here. Okay, I want to start the next piece. We're not going to be able to finish the next piece. We'll finish it after Ma'ariv, God willing. But also such a beautiful piece as follows.
course, we know that Vayis Chanan is the parsha of Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So on the pasuk Hashem Echad, or on the phrase Hashem Echad, Perek Vav pasuk Dalet, the Kli Yochar comments as follows: B'milas Shema ha'ayin gedola, or b'milas Echad ha'dalet gedola. If you look in the Sefer Torah, in the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, some of the Siddurim printed it this way as well. The Ayin in Shema is a big letter, unusually big. The Dalet and Echad is an unusually big letter. Remez l'mashta amru b'medrash shakadosh baruch hu yisrael mi'idim zel zeh. Of course, that spells out the word aid, witness, and the Torah is indicating that the Jewish people and the Ribono Shel'olam serve as witnesses to one another. So that's one aspect over here, right? The idea of being an aid. V'razal amru shehera kodesh baruch hu l'moshe shkesher shel tefillin. Right? Chazal comment, Gemara Brachos, that the Ribono Shel Olam showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher, the knot, on the back of God's tefillin. Again, that's a very esoteric concept. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos says that God wears tefillin. I mean, obviously, whatever that means, it doesn't mean in the literal sense, you know, that God doesn't have a body. He doesn't have a body to put the tefillin on. But, in other words, whatever it means exactly, you know, there is some notion, metaphorically, of God wearing tefillin. And God is described as showing the kesher at the back of his tefillin to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? That idea of the kesher of the tefillin, and that the notion that God has a kesher of tefillin, says the Kli Yochar, is to tell us as follows: Kishem she'anu koshrin kachosam alegu zroa yichud Hashem yisparach, kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu meisim osanu kachosam alibo v'chachosam al zroa. What does it mean that God wears tefillin? So the Kli Yochar says, on the simplest level, it means as follows: when we wear tefillin, we're showing that we tie our connection to God on our very persons. God, so to speak, is tied, is connected to our arms, to our heads. The notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wearing tefillin is metaphorically saying that God binds us to Him, right? God considers us connected to Him. That's the sense in which God wears tefillin. We are also tied to the Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak, on His arm, and so to speak, on His head. Right? Is there any Yochanan b'Sav Pshuto? That's the simple idea behind the notion of God wearing tefillin. When we pick up after Ma'ariv Bezras Hashem, we'll see a deeper explanation of the notion of God wearing tefillin and how that relates to the ayin and the dalid that are big in the first pasuk of Shema. Okay, Reb Chanan ben Akasha. Okay, so this is the second part of the Kli Yochar Shir Parshas Vayis Chanan. Again, we're looking at the Kli Yochar. The pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the Kli Yochar points out that the ayin in Shema and the dalet in Echad are both larger letters than normal. So Pashut Pshat, you know, that spells out aid, you know, that there's a certain we bear witness to the existence of God. God bears witness to our special role in the world. And in speaking a little bit about the idea that God wears tefillin and that He shows that He showed the kesher of His tefillin to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kli Yochar says that what the idea of God wearing tefillin represents the notion that just as our wearing tefillin shows that we consider ourselves bound to God, kivyochol God wearing tefillin, you know, metaphorically implies the idea that God is bound to us in some way. Amnam kifia remes evshter lomer besod ayin dal gedola v'inyan kesher shel tefillin. But I want to suggest the following, an alternate understanding of the big ayin and dalet and the kesher of tefillin as follows. Ki Moshe bikesh ve'omar hareini na es kvodecha. When Moshe asked God in Parshas Kisisa this request, Moshe asked of God, hareini na es kvodecha, show me your glory. Right? Which, and it's in response to that, say Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher of the tefillin, the knot of the tefillin in the back. Amar b'Medrash, the Medrash explains what was it that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for. Bikesh liros komatim schar shel tzadikim ba'olam hazeh ba'olam haba. Kisham kevar chachamim yinchalu. Right? What Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for, says the Medrash, he asked of God, show me the reward which is set aside for the tzaddikim in this world as well as in the next world. Right? Ve'eshiv lo, v'ro'iz v'zachoroi, u'fanai lo yera'u. What's God's answer in the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu's quest? Show me your glory. You can see my back, but my front can't be seen. What does that mean? V'amar razal, achoroi, the kesher shel tefillin. When God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll see my back, that refers to the kesher of the tefillin. Ki batfillin yeshem shel shakai, dahayu adalit v'kesher atfillin me'acharov, yud shin osios yesh befonov. If you think about it, there are three osios, there are three letters that are on the tefillin in some way. On the top of the shel rosh is the shin, on either side of the shel rosh. On the shel yad, the kesher of the shel yad is the yud. And in the back of the head is the dalet, the kesher of the shel rosh. When Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll see my back but not my front, in a certain way, that can be understood to mean you'll see the dalet of the kesher of the shel rosh. You won't see the shin and the yud, which are on the front of the person wearing tefillin. Those you look at a person wearing tefillin. If you stand in front of him, you see the shins on the shel rosh. You see the yud on the kesher of the yud on the tefillin shel yad. If you stand in back of the person, you see the kesher on the shel rosh, which is a dalet. You'll see the dalet, but not the shin and the yud. So what's the significance of that? V'yesh hainu schar olam haba. Yesh refers to the reward that tzaddikim get in the next world. Shenemar lahamchil olava yesh, kinim sebo yeshushum umamashus. The Pasuk in Mishle says that God will reward those who love Him with yesh. And everybody knows, he ever went to a Hadron on Mishnayos, right? The very last Mishnah in Shas and Uksan speaks about how God is going to give every tzaddik in the next world Shai Olamos, 310 worlds, Kaminyan Yesh, right? Lahan Chaloa Vayesh. What does it mean that the reward of tzaddikim in the next world is going to be Yesh? So Yesh means there's something there, right? The idea of every tzaddik getting 310 worlds, getting yesh, is that every tzaddik is going to get substance in the next world. That's what yesh means. Right? We often ask the question, you hear that Mishnah, God's going to give us 310 worlds. Vasef is 310 worlds. Right? Okay, so it's the gematria of yesh. Okay, I still don't understand it. Right? So what's the significance of that? So the Kliyakar is telling us, because the word yesh means substance. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give the tzaddikim substance in the next world. Uve'erko nechshav haschar shel olam hazeh l'tov v'ayin. Relative to the reward of the next world, the reward of this world, of olam hazeh, it's like nothing. V'hu ravus v'dalet. Ki yisroon obo mikol dalet ruchos ha'olam. K'mo shekosov, paras ha'yom avokedmo. Dalet, four, refers to the four directions in this world. Right, so Dalet refers to the reward of this world, which is fleeting and ultimately not that valuable. The Shin and the Yud refer to the reward of the next world, which is the ultimate value. Yesh. V'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ra'isas achorai, you'll see the Dalet. He's responding to the question Moshe Rabbeinu asked him. Moshe Rabbeinu said, can I see the schar that's set aside for the tzaddikim? Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, well, I'll meet you halfway. You can see the Dalet, i.e. the schar that's set aside for tzaddikim in this world, the four corners of the world and everything in it, that you can see. But you can't see the yesh, the shin and the yud, in the front of the tefillin, because that yesh hints to the reward that the tzaddikim are going to get in Olam Haba. Right? So that, you're not going to be able to see. V'zeh sod ayin dalet gedola. So let's go back to Shema, right? So Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad has a big ayin and a big dalet, right? What's the role of the big ayin and the big dalet? So again, one pshat he says is Miloshen Eid. Now he says a different pshat. Ayin ha'adam lo yuchal lir'os kim hadalid ka'amur.
The ayin, the eye of man in this world, is only able to see the reward which is hinted at in the dalid, which is the reward of Olam Hazeh. However, the reward of Olam Haba Yesh, that the eye of man in this world is not able to see. Where does the Yesh in the Pasuk Shema Yisrael? Take the Rashi Tevis of the word Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Shin Yud. Shema Yisrael, the words themselves, are merames to the reward that's awaiting the tzaddikim in Olam Haba. That is beyond human understanding and human comprehension. The only thing that our ayin can see is the dalit, is the reward that Hashem gives us in this world. But the shin yud, the yesh, that's for Olam Haba. That's beyond the comprehension of the human being. Right, so Sechar Mitzvah HaBahai Amalekah means the ultimate reward is absence from this world. But there is a concept that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us appetizers, so to speak. And he gives us, as many of the Rishonim speak out, he does give us good things to help us perform more mitzvahs. Right? In other words, he'll make life easy for us if we cling to the mitzvahs as a way of enabling us to do more mitzvahs, because the path has been clear for us. Right. So exactly. So that's exactly this idea. The only ayin who can see is the ayin of Hashem Himself.
And obviously, to get testimony to be an aid,
you can always see something with your ayin. Right. Right. Exactly. Right. So that's what he says. Zerem es yakar. This is a beautiful idea, which he wants to present. Dover acher, another idea about the big ayin and the big dalit. The fish nemar be'iov, hen kedem eheloch ve'enenu, ve'achar v'lo avin lo, small ba'asoso v'lo achos, yatov yomin v'lo er'eh. I walk forward, I don't see him. I look back, I don't understand. I look to my left, I don't get it. I look to my right, I don't see. Right? So, what the Pasuk in Iyov is trying to bring out is that God is one by virtue of the fact that He can't be seen in any form, no matter which direction you look in. Because if you think about it, by definition, anything that has a visible form can't be all-encompassing. Because the physical form limits that creature, right? If I have a form that, you know, if I have a body, that means that I'm limited by the body. So if I want to say that Hashem is Echad, that God is one, meaning that He encompasses the entire universe and beyond, and cannot be broken down into component parts, an important byproduct of that is that wherever I turn, I can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because if there was some physical item, you know, some physical representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I could see, that would undermine the idea of the Achdus Hashem, the oneness of Hashem.
I was thinking this before, turning around,
God. Right. Ah, da, very nice. Yes, so you know. Right. Right. No, so very good. He actually doesn't say that, but I hear it. In other words, you know, to recognize Hashem. Umeachar she'ayin haroe b'chol ar baruchos lo yuchal lir'oso misham l'fi she'eno gesher mischale zem ofes ha'achduso yisparach. The ayin can't see Hashem no matter which of the dalid directions it looks in. The eye can't see Hashem regardless of which of the four directions the eye looks in. So the big ayin and the big dalid hint to the idea that God is invisible to the eye, no matter which of the four directions you look in. So that itself contributes to our understanding that Hashem is Echad. God is indivisible. God can't be confined to any human form or the like. So Hashem Echad is brought out through the failure of the ayin to see Hashem in any of the dalit, in any of the four different directions. Another, he says, another beautiful remez you know, to what the ayin and the dalet, the big ayin and the dalet in the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what that might represent. Okay, wish everybody a good Shabbos, and we will be Hashem pick up next week for Parshas Eikev.